Another government cover-up.
Yep.
Lindsay.
Hi, Erica.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. I just decorated some Christmas cookies, so I have a lot of sugar in my system because, you know, I had to test the icing. So, how are you?
Of course. I am Gucci Golden. I played hooky from work today.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going in tomorrow, but, like, I played hooky today, so it was nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Lindsay, in a strange twist of events, we're going to be talking about aliens today.
I never would have guessed.
I know, right? It's a real shocker.
I'm stunned and surprised.
I bet. But before I get into the actual story, I do have a fun little tidbit for you.
Ooh.
It wasn't long enough for an episode, but it's still, like, kind of cool. Apparently, the first recorded UFO sighting in the United States took place in 1897 when a cigar-shaped spaceship crashed into a judge's windmill in Aurora, Texas. 1897, right?
That's a long time. Ago.
A really long time ago. The town recovered the disfigured body, decided that it must be an alien, and then buried it, quote, with Christian rites.
Well, at least
they gave it they gave it a Christian burial.
At least there's one alien in heaven.
Yep. They also originally had a tombstone with, like, a really crude carving of the spaceship. It was just, like, cigar/eye shape, mm-hmm. and that was it. But that's, like, been stolen. However, the graveyard still has a historical marker for it.
Neat. That's very cool. Did they ever, like, exhume the body to test what it was?
So, here's the thing. Yes and no.
Okay.
No, officially. But some people say they did exhume the body. It's mixed. Mixed reports. Because now, when they scan the ground, there's no body there. So maybe they, like, did an embalmment. Maybe it's now, like, just decayed. Because it's been...
There'd still be some bones, though, right?
Well, what are alien bones made of?
This is very true.
Yeah, so they might be gone.
Interesting. Yeah. But that's neat.
Our actual story for today is another first. We are going to be talking about the Maury Island incident, which sparked the first reports of Men in Black.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the Maury Island incident occurred in Washington State back in 1947, just a month prior to the Roswell UFO incident. Harold Dahl worked as an unofficial harbor patrolman in the Puget Sound, which involved basically, like, scooping up any logs that floated to the surface of the water so that they could be taken and used at lumber mills. On June 21st, Dahl took the boat out with his son, possibly two other men, and the family dog. Around 2 p.m. that day, he spotted six metallic, donut-shaped objects floating above the boat. The UFOs were approximately 100 feet in diameter, and the center hole was about 25 feet in diameter. The ships also seemed to have portholes and an observation window.
Nice.
One of the six UFOs slowly got closer until it was only about 500 feet above the water. It just kind of, like, stayed there for a minute, and then a second ship floated down to join it. After the two ships, like, touched and made contact, they proceeded to release thousands of pieces of debris. So, Dahl initially thought that the debris was newspapers for some reason, but it really turned out to be metal. Some of them were like a lightweight, whitish metal, but others were more like lava rocks. And the water reportedly turned to steam when these darker rocks landed in the bay. Some pieces of debris also hit Dahl's son and broke his arm and or burned him. And another piece, unfortunately, killed the dog.
Oh, no.
I know. But they gave him a burial at sea. /bay.
That's good.
That's
what the dog would have wanted.
It's true. After dumping the metal into the bay, the ships rose back into the air and then headed out to sea.
I was going to say, it's like the Dave Matthews Band incident where they were driving the tour bus in Chicago and they just dumped a bunch of shit onto people. Terrible, and if I was on that boat, I would have just absolutely lost my mind, but it is so funny to think about that.
It is really funny, but I may have jumped in the river.
Oh, yeah, I would have beat up Dave Matthews himself while I was still covered absolutely. In his excrement. But it's just like, it's very funny to me. And I've been thinking about it a lot recently for some reason.
I just heard one of the podcasts I listened to literally just talked about it on the episode I was listening to yesterday.
Is it like, maybe it's the anniversary of that incident, I think.
Maybe, or maybe it's just a description of how 2020 be.
This is also true.
2020 is just like that, so we remember the times when the world was also like that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
But back to the story. After dumping metal into the bay, also, I hope that the Dave Matthews Band shit didn't break someone's arm and kill a dog.
It was like 800 pounds of shit, so maybe.
Ew. So after dumping metal into the bay, the ships rose back into the air and headed out to sea, like I was saying. Dahl tried to call for help, but the boat's radio wouldn't work, so instead he went back to the dock and told his boss, Fred Chrisman, about the incident. One thing really sets Dahl apart from most of our other friends who encounter aliens, though. He took pictures.
Ooh.
When Dahl and Chrisman got the photos developed, they showed the UFOs, but when they looked at the negatives, they found that the negatives had spots on them, similar to film that had been damaged by radiation. Mm. So they may not have been the actual ships, they might have been just radiation damage. And because of this, Chrisman did not believe Dahl's story, even though he had photos to prove it.
Yeah, but how did the photos get radiation damage?
Exactly. Plot hole.
Spooky.
So after this, Dahl returned to Maury Island and gathered some rock and metal samples. As he did this, one of the UFOs returned, seemingly watching him. The very next day, a man in black approached Dahl and told him, quote, "I know a great deal more about this experience of yours than you will want to believe." Dahl and the man in black got breakfast together, cute date,
aww,
during which time the man recounted Dahl's entire experience back to him and threatened both Dahl and his family should he ever tell anyone about the incident. And this was considered to be the first man in black sighting or mention.
Right.
So for those of our listeners who might not be familiar, men in black are essentially men in dark suits who tend to bully and intimidate witnesses into not reporting their UFO experiences. They have also been known to, like, steal or destroy evidence of these sightings. There are some people who believe that men in black are government agents, while others claim they have otherworldly origins because of, like, weird things in their mannerism and, like, in their mannerisms and appearances.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want more info about, like, this specifically, there's a really good two-part episode from Conspiracy Theories that has a lot of info.
Nice.
Undeterred, however, Dahl told someone about the incident. He and Chrisman sent a package to Ray Palmer, who's a publisher that later founded Fate magazine, with a box of metal fragments and statements detailing the event. They were then put into contact with Kenneth Arnold, a United States Airman who was currently investigating UFO sightings. Arnold was not investigating these sightings just for fun, though. He himself had seen 9 shiny UFOs fly past Mount Rainier at high speeds on June 24th of the same year. So while flying around Mount Rainier just to look for, like, a crashed Marine Corps airplane, Arnold was distracted by a bright flashing light. And at first he thought, like, okay, maybe this is, like, my plane or my glasses or whatever. So he tried to, like, maneuver the plane, change positions, etc. He took off his glasses just to make sure that it wasn't, like, his positioning or anything else that was causing them.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing he did made the lights go away. So eventually he realized they were coming from a series of flying objects. Arnold stated that the objects appeared so thin when viewed, like, edge on that they were almost invisible. And they moved like stones being skipped on the water.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before.
Super weird.
Mm-hmm.
They also think this might be one possible origin of the term, like, flying saucer.
Makes sense.
Like this sighting. So, a United States airline crew reported a similar experience about 10 days after Arnold initially spotted these crafts, also in Washington. And then 8 similar objects were also photographed and published in a newspaper flying above Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1947, the same year.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Frank Brown and Captain William Davidson interviewed Arnold on July 12th, just to be sure, like, to see, like, is this real, is this not? And they concluded, essentially, he wouldn't lie about it because he filled out a report. So, like, who would lie if it's going to make them fill out paperwork? But they thought that this was only a mirage. It's also important to note that Arnold initially believed he wasn't, like, seeing aliens. He thought he was just witnessing the testing of some new, like, U.S. aircraft.
Okay. So he's a sheep.
Well, I mean, he works for the military, and they were doing a lot of secret stuff back then, because post-World War II and the Cold War.
Excuses.
It's okay, don't worry. Don't worry, because he later kind of believed it, because, as we get back to the original story, Dahl and Crispin reported the Maury Island incident to Arnold, the pilot, who heard about it from Ray Palmer, the publisher that they sent the box of evidence to. Arnold visited Dahl and Crispin with pilot E.J. Smith later in July. So by this point, the two men involved in the incident did not show them the pictures, but Dahl reported that his son had, like, since disappeared. The son was, like, later found, though, waiting tables in Montana, but couldn't remember how he got there.
What?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna get a little more insane.
Oh, my goodness.
Because on July 21st, Captain Lee Davidson and First Lieutenant Frank Brown later joined Dahl, Crispin, and Arnold at Maury Island to conduct a report of their own. They collected some of the metal, but were disappointed to find that it was only aluminum, and decided to leave without telling Arnold that they thought the sighting was fake, because they apparently felt embarrassed for him. However, when flying back to California, the men's plane caught on fire and both officers were killed in the crash.
Oh, man.
Your shocked eyes say a lot.
I'm stunned.
Yeah. Dahl and Crispin both confessed to Air Force investigators that they had made up the story, though both men would retract their statements in later years. And I think one of the articles I read had them saying, like, well, yeah, I got threatened by a man in a black suit. Obviously, I was going to say that it was fake.
Yeah.
And exactly. Before his death, obviously. And before his death, Crispin began saying that the real incident did not involve the donut-shaped saucers, which, like, he wouldn't know. He wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, it was a cover-up by the military because they were illegally dumping nuclear waste in the bay. Which, like, considering the ethics of science in that era, or lack thereof, I can see it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Plus, that would explain the damaged film. Radiation.
This is true. How... I don't know how any of that works. I'm not going to ask questions about that. That's fine. That makes sense to me.
Why? Because, you know, I'll give you a real explanation.
Well, maybe. I was going to say, like, how close to the nuclear waste would they have to be for the film to get, like, corrupted, and how long would they have to be there?
That is actually a good question. That would probably depend on the amount of waste that they dumped.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know.
That's fine. I also know literally nothing about nuclear science. Or any science, really, but especially nuclear science. So...
Yeah. I took, like, one class on it, but it was kind of a joke. But yeah, a bunch of people think that, like, at least in the conspiracy theories episodes that I was listening to, if I remember from several months ago, the officers crashed their plane because of the men in black and because they had, like, some samples on board.
Oh. So it was sabotage.
Yeah. Sabotage and a cover-up. The Maury Island incident was called the, quote, dirtiest hoax in UFO history by Captain Edward Ruppelt from Project Blue Book. So, the options we have for what happened are, number one, it was aliens. These were actually alien spaceships. Number two, the government was testing airplanes and or dumping illegal radioactive waste. Or, this was a hoax. So, what do you think happened, Lindsay?
Well, if it wasn't aliens, because it was obviously aliens, I think that the government was dumping waste, but then Project Blue Book had to come in and say, this is a hoax, what are you guys talking about? We're not doing any of this. Yeah, I think, yeah, they were dumping waste, and then they had to cover it up.
Valid. I also want to go with, like, aliens or fancy government tech / cover-up, just because, like, there were so many other sightings in the same area at the same time, and even across the United States.
Yeah, it has to be something.
Like, yeah, 1947 was a big year for UFOs. That is, again, like, that's when Roswell happened. Yeah. It happened in July of that year. And, like, I'm sure some of the sightings were probably because, like, if people see something reported in the news, they're going to start reporting on it.
Right.
But I also feel like there's too many similar reports for all of them to be made up, you know?
Yeah, there had to be something happening for that many people in that, like, who didn't know each other to start reporting it.
Yeah. I also just want to think that maybe aliens did try to invade in 1947 and decided it was too much effort.
That's relatable.
Or we were too dumb.
Both of those things are relatable, and I understand.
Yeah. I wish they would invade now. It would be fun. We need 2020 to really go out with, like, a bang, so...
And that bang alien invasion. Is alien invasion.
Yeah!
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go for it.
I mean, I don't know. All the only thing that would happen is people would tweet about it. They'd be like, who had aliens on their 2020 bingo card?
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe someone would finally win that bingo game.
Maybe.
I feel like there is too many plot twists to even fit on the bingo card at this point.
Yeah. Did you know that the Australian wildfires were this year?
Yes, but only because I've seen it in so many, like, posts about, like, recapping all the shit that's gone down this year. I was like, that was in January?
Yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't, like, 2018?
Are you sure it wasn't before I was born? Feels like a long time ago.
Oh, there was a World War III scare this year? When? That was recent?
Well, we're all getting a vaccine, and I've decided that my New Year's resolution is to start dressing like Frog and Toad from the book Frog and Toad.
Do it.
I need to change my wardrobe.
My New Year's resolution, which I think I'm actually going to do when I come back, I want a triple helix piercing.
Ooh.
It's like the three rings in the top of your ear.
I also think I'm going to buy myself a fake septum.
Nice.
Because I don't think I could commit, and I think it would hurt. And I already have one nose ring.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get a fake one.
Cute.
Thank you.
That's kind of like how I have fake gauges, because I don't want to...
I thought they were real for... At one point. I think we were still in college. Yeah, and I hadn't seen you in a while. I was like, when did you gauge your ears?
No, this was... I didn't get these until after graduation. I think I got these sometime after moving down here.
Oh, maybe it's when we started the podcast.
Oh, wait, no. No, you're right. Fuck, I did get them senior year.
I don't remember.
Yeah, for our listeners who don't know what my face looks like, I have earrings that, like, screw in the back, so it looks like I'm wearing gauges. But really, they're just posts.
Got them. You tricked them. You tricked me.
Aha. I tricked my grandmother, who freaked out a little bit. First time I wore them. I was like, don't worry about it.
It's fine.
Anna, it's fine. But yeah, listeners, send us your New Year's wardrobe, body modification, etc. resolutions.
Yes. I want to... My other New Year's resolution is to be bad at more stuff.
I like that.
Thank you.
I haven't made any other resolutions. My only one is actually get the things I want done.
Nice.
Like, in terms of my appearance, etc.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. But anyway, that's all I had for the Maury Island incident. And my sources for this episode were the Wikipedia pages Maury Island Incident, Kenneth Arnold UFO Sighting, and Men in Black, as well as the articles Maury Island Incident from Weird Washington and Ned the Aurora Alien from Aurora, Texas, their website, and the Maury Island UFO Incident on HowStuffWorks.com. But yeah, if listeners want to contact us and they want to tell us their New Year's resolutions, how can they do that, Lindsay? So, or I guess, like, their cryptid slash alien stories, too. Those are important.
If you just want to say hi, it's been a lonely year. So if you want to contact us, wait until Erica and I are together and on a boat. And then I guess really the easiest way to do it is to get, like, some kind of drone or small plane and then drop a bunch of hot metal on our boat with your message engraved on it.
Yeah, that sounds good. If you break my arm, I'll be a little bit sad, but I won't hate you.
Do not kill our dog. I don't know if we'll have a dog on there, but if there is,
don't kill it.
Don't kill it.
Because then we won't read your message on purpose.
Yes. And we'll crash your drone.
Yeah. Or, if that doesn't work for you, because you can't figure out how to drop hot metal with your message engraved on it from a drone.
Weird.
For some fucking reason.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, honestly, like, how hard can it be? Then you could also email us at justmightexistpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at justmightexist.
Yes.
So with that, Lindsay, final question. What is the cryptid of the week?
Krampus.